so that we can have salvation. He took the punishment so that we can have paradise. He took the bruisings so that he can give us the blessings. He was wounded so that we can be welcomed. He enjoyed or endured the pain so that we can enjoy the peace. He was rejected so that we can be received. He was despised so that we can be delivered. He was forgotten and forsaken so that we can be forgiven. He endured the cross so that we can enjoy the crown of glory. He took our garbage, basically our garbage, so that he can give us his glories. These, brothers and sisters, is what I've been talking about for the past 3 weeks, about the great salvation that we have in Christ. A salvation that was predicted by the prophets. They talked about a future salvation, a mysterious salvation. They didn't know the details, but they predicted it. And you know what? You and I, we don't know everything that is need to know, that we need to know, that we can know about Jesus Christ. But we have the responsibility to preach what we know. And then they spoke about a free salvation for us, but it was a costly salvation for God. It cost him everything. He gave his only begotten son. And then it has become a glorious salvation. We saw, secondly, that this great salvation was prepared by grace. Prepared meticulously by grace. A grace that has come to us. A grace that has always been in operation. Always. We had never, if you're a child of God today, we have never been without grace. We were without Christ for a little bit, but we had never been without grace, because he chose us by grace in Christ. A grace that is undeserved. A grace that cannot be earned. It's impossible. We cannot earn grace. We cannot earn salvation. A grace that brings salvation to us. A grace that is enough, and a grace that is available. And then we saw last week that not only it was predicted by prophets and prepared by grace, but it was propitiated by Christ. In other words, Christ was the sacrifice, the atonement to acquire that salvation. There's no other way. There's no other way. See, the propitiation was prophesied. And the propitiation was God's will. There was no other way. He asked three times to the Father, if this cup could pass from me, but let your will be done. You know what? The will was done. He had to die. Now, I remember I mentioned he didn't have to die, but he had to die. He didn't have to die because he was sinless, perfect. Because this propitiation was extremely painful. And it was for us. He didn't have to die for himself. The Messiah was cut off, but not for himself, but for us. He paid the price for you and for me on that day. And then we saw last that the propitiation brought peace. So as you can see, there's nothing, barely almost nothing, that we can do about this salvation. We cannot prepare it. We will never deserve it. We cannot work for it. So what can we do about this salvation? Two things, basically. Receive it. Receive it by repentance and faith. And then, point number four, proclaim it. proclaim this salvation to others. In other words, plant the seed so that others can listen to God, can repent of their sins, and be saved. And it needs to be proclaimed by believers. It's not proclaimed by angels. You know, if the angels were given a chance, and I'm going to tell you right now, if the angels were given a chance to proclaim the gospel, they would proclaim it 24/7, every single day. You will find angels everywhere, the gospel, passing tracts, inviting people to church all the time. But they do not have that privilege, that blessing. That blessing is only for believers. It's like the angels don't have the blessing either of the new song that we have in our hearts, because they're not redeemed. You see, the new song is only for believers. They sing a new song of salvation. The angels don't know. The angels look at it and they, well, let me not talk about it before. That's for the future. But they wish they had what we have today in Christ. Think about that. And they are with God all the time in the presence of the Lord. And they wish to be in our place so that they could preach the gospel, so they can sing a new song of redemption and salvation in Jesus Christ. They don't understand all the privilege that we have. Now, before we proclaim the gospel, we need to, or part of the proclamation, point A, is the proclamation of bad news. Bad news. And I have bad news for you today. There's a storm coming. Right? That's bad news. I think it's Debbie. Right? Debbie. Right? I mean, whatever her name is, I don't want to meet her. You know, Debbie, bad news. But you know what? It's good to hear bad news in this case so you can be prepared. Imagine if they didn't tell you, right? And then all of a sudden you get a hurricane, a tornado right next to you. You need to be prepared. It's like when you go to the doctor, right? Now, which kind of doctor would you prefer? A doctor like the doctors that we have in Live Oak and Lake City? You know, right? They have a bad reputation. I heard from a lot of people. And you know what I'm saying? A lot of people go to Jacksonville and go to Gainesville. The only one that is good is the one that is called by my name, Alice Gonzalez. That's a good one. The rest, I don't know. But I heard a lot of people say, I got to go to Gainesville. Why? Because they go to the emergency room here and they say to them, oh, you're fine. You're fine. Just take this pill. And then they keep getting worse and worse and worse until they go to a real doctor and they say, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. And they show you have this and this and that. And it's bad news. Nobody wants to hear bad news. But I ask you this morning, which doctor would you prefer? The one that tells you, like in the Old Testament, the false prophets were telling Israel, oh, it's okay. Or Jeremiah that was saying, you know, the Babylonians are coming. You need to repent. I don't know about you, but I prefer to have a doctor that tells me what is wrong with me. Okay? So I can do something about it. And when we preach the gospel, we need to do the same. We need to become like doctors of the soul. Right? And tell the people what is wrong with them. Look what it says in Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many people have sinned? All. All. So everybody is infected, all right, contaminated with sin. Everybody, old, young, men, women, black, white, everybody is a sinner. And they got a problem. In Acts chapter 2, verse 23, that we saw last week, talking about the predestination by God, it says, him being delivered by the determined, predetermined purpose of God and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put to death. Now, there's three things that you can write over here next to your notes. The first thing, when you proclaim, in verse 36, sorry, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. You crucified him, but God has made him Lord and Christ over all. Three things you need to write and you need to preach to people when you tell them bad news. Number one, you need to tell them that the Bible says that they are rebellious against God. They are rebellious. In other words, all have sinned. And what is sin? What is sin? Sin is rebellion against God. God tells you to do something, and what do? We don't do it. And God tells you not to do something, don't eat of this fruit, and what do? We do it. That is rebellion. When children misbehave, what are they doing? Rebellion. And that's what we are as human beings before God. Rebellious by nature, sinful. We want to do what we want to do, not what he says to do. So we need to tell them, you are rebellious. You are sinners. We need to tell them, secondly, that there are bad results for that. All have sinned, and what does he say? Fall short of the glory of God. They don't reach. Nobody can reach heaven. You know what? I like the Spanish version even better. Because it says, todos pecaron y están destituidos de la gloria de Dios. You know what it means? Yeah, I say, what is he saying? Well, I'm going to explain to you. See, I got to show off my Spanish sometimes. Destituidos. It means destitute. Destitute of the glory of God. All have sinned and they are destitute of the glory of God. Because at the beginning, Adam and Eve, they enjoy the glory of God. Walking with God, communion with God. And because they fell into sin, God destitute them. It always reminds me of a movie that I saw many years ago. I don't remember what movie. But it was this soldier, this captain, that disobeyed the general or whatever. And they came, the general came in front of everybody. What do? They took the rank in front of everybody. And now he went from whatever he was to nothing. And that's what happened to the human race. We are destitute from the position of grace and blessing that we had in the Garden of Eden. So you have to tell them that they are rebellious, that there are awful results, and number three, that they are responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. Now, I talked last week, and I said that it was Christ went to the cross by the will of the Father. Not by my will, by the will of the Father, right? And I also said that we didn't directly kill Jesus. Now, we may have put him on the cross, but we didn't kill him directly. Because the Bible says that he, gave his life himself. Nobody, he said it, nobody takes it from me. Not the Romans, not the Jews, not the Americans, not anybody. Nobody, not the devil, nobody can kill Jesus. But at the same time, at the same time. Even though it was God's will, the Father's will, and it was Jesus who willingly gave his life for us, at the same time, mankind is responsible. Because if there was no sin, right? If there were no sinners, there would be no need for the cross, right? So Jesus went to the cross because of you and me, because it was a sin. And that sin affected everything, everything. Our relationship with God, nature, everything, everything was affected because of our sin. So we need to proclaim the bad news. The bad news. And then, secondly, after we tell them the bad news, then we need to proclaim the good news. You see, it's like the doctor. You go to the doctor, right? And he say, hey, you have cancer. Now, do you like to hear that? Raise your hand if you... No, nobody likes cancer here, right? So, but he needs to tell you, you have cancer. And then you need to do this, whatever, you know, operation, whatever he says that you need to do so that you can have what? Remission. Remission from the cancer. Well, there's something about that word, remission. When we tell people, you're a sinner, but in Christ there is what? Remission of sin, in real remission. Because in cancer you can have it, but then it might come back. But when you have been forgiven by Christ, all your sins are remitted forever to the bottom of the sea, as far as the east is from the west. It's a complete salvation. So it's the good news. You got to preach the good news. Look what it says in verse 12 with me in our text. It says, to them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things that are now have been reported to you through those who have preached what? The gospel to you. You know why you're here today and why you're a Christian today, if you're a Christian? Because somebody preached the gospel to you at one point in your life. Maybe at church or out of the church, somebody preached the gospel to you. They brought the gospel, which is the good news, which is that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, that he is resurrected, that he ascended to heaven, and that he is coming back. That he is coming back for us. All that is good news. And we need to preach it. We need to proclaim it. In Romans chapter 1, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 17, the Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, if I ask you today, is anybody here ashamed of being an American citizen? Anybody? No? No? Okay. So if you're not ashamed, if we are not ashamed of being Americans, should we be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, right? I mean, which one is more important, right? Being an American or being, you know, whatever your last name is, or being a follower of Jesus Christ? See, this is what Paul said. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because he says, it is the power of God to salvation. Tell me of any other thing in this universe that compares to the gospel. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Anything? Come on, I'm waiting. Nothing else? Well, even John, Peter said, only you have words of what? Eternal life, the gospel. There's nothing else. Believe me, nothing else. He says it is the power of God. The gospel is power. It's dunamis, it's dynamite. The gospel can change your life for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also for the Greek or the Gentiles, right? Everybody who's not a Jew. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and it's written, the just shall live by faith. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray. We need to pray, yes, but we need to proclaim the bad news, and we need to proclaim the good news, that there's salvation in Jesus Christ. And never, ever be ashamed, all right? There's a lot of things in my life that I am extremely ashamed. Things that I have done in the past, okay? That I would not share with anybody. God knows, right? He knows. And I probably, you have a couple here and there, right? Things that you have done that you regret, that you're ashamed, right? And that people would find out and say, whoa, whoa, did you do that? Well, yeah, it's happened. But I'm going to tell you something. There's one thing or one person that I will never be ashamed of, and it is my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave it all for me. He rescued me when I was dying. He gave his life for me on the cross, where nobody else wanted to talk to me. When everybody turned their back on me, there was Jesus. And he has given me salvation. And that is grace. And that, how could any Christian could ever be ashamed of the gospel? We need to proclaim it. We need to tell others about it. We need to tell others about Jesus Christ, because it is good news. Now we need to do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in your power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 12, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us. They were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't matter how you present the gospel so much as it matters that you do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because no matter how eloquent or charismatic or winsome or attractive you might be in your presentation, if the Holy Spirit is not in the presentation of the gospel, if you're not praying, that's why it is good when two go and preach the gospel. One is talking, and the other one is what? Praying, interceding for the person, for the Holy Spirit to reach out and touch the heart. Now we can plant the seed. Amen? We need to plant the seed. But the Holy Spirit is the one that brings salvation. And you can write there somewhere in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zerubbabel says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. What seems impossible to you and to me is easy, super easy, for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to proclaim the bad news. Tell them the problem. We need to say the good news, the solution. We need to do it in the power of the Spirit. And we need to keep in mind that it is a proclamation of life. We're speaking life. We're speaking life. When you talk about your own things, you know, we speak some of the times, destructions and other things. But when we speak in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's a proclamation of life, of life. In the book of Matthew 28, verses 5 through 8, there were some women that went to the tomb. Remember? Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and a few others. They went to see the dead body of Jesus. Right or wrong? To anoint him, whatever. I guess they didn't get the memo, or they read the memo or something, because Jesus had said many times, I'm going to die, but 3 days later, what? I'm coming back. I'll be back, like they say in the movie. I'll be back. He said it many times. So, let's read verse 5. But the angel answered and said to the women, all right? Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was, you see there, who was crucified. He was crucified. He's not anymore crucified. First of all, I want us to, you can underline in your Bible, do not be afraid. If you are, let's say for a second, let's assume for a second that you are not ashamed of the gospel. Okay? I'm assuming that no one here is ashamed of Christ and the gospel. But you might be afraid. You might be afraid to go and share it. The angel says, the word of God says, do not be afraid. Okay? Go and share with others. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. In verse 6 it says, he is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. He is risen. We believe in a risen Savior. We don't have a dead religion seeking by works to achieve salvation, which will never happen. We have salvation already and life. And we need to proclaim that Jesus is alive. Thirdly, he says, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you to Galilee. And there you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And what did they do? And they ran. You see there? The urgency. I wish after I finished the message today, everybody ran away. No. I don't have time to say hi to anybody. And you ran and you preach the gospel to your family and to your friends. That's what we need to do. Run. Run. It's urgent. We need to preach. We need to tell them that Jesus is alive. And we need to tell them that they can find life. Because he said in John 14, 19, it says, because I live, you will also live. And then we see that is the proclamation of the greatest blessing ever. The greatest blessing ever. So in a way, when we preach the good news, we are also preaching the best news. It's not only good because it's good in quality, but it's the best possible news that we can give to anybody. Look what it says in verse 17 in Matthew 13. I surely say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. The prophets in the Old Testament, the judges, the men of God in the Old Testament did not have the privilege of seeing and hearing Jesus Christ. They knew that there would be a Messiah, right? A Christ that would come and bring salvation. But the apostles and those of us who believe in the message of the apostles, we are so blessed. We are privileged. If you're a Christian today, you have something that very few people in this world have. You know that? I'm not talking about riches. I'm not talking about being famous. But you and I that believe in Christ, that have repented of our sins and trusted in Jesus Christ as our only Savior, we have salvation. We have forgiveness. We have eternal life. We have hope. We are children of God. And on and on and on and on and on and on. And he said there were many righteous people that were desiring to see and hear what you have. Well, there are many people in this world that are hungry to know and to see and to experience what we have. They're hungry and they don't even know it. Okay? They know that there's something that they need. And we need to go and tell them, you know what you need? You need Christ. That's the one you need. You don't need another religion. You don't need another exercise equipment. You don't need another diet. You don't need any self-help book. You need Christ. Christ is the difference. Amen? Christ is the difference. And it's the best news. He is the bread of life. If they're hungry, give them the bread of life. If they're thirsty, give them the living water. By the way, when Jesus fed the 5,000, right? He multiplied the bread and all of that. But can you tell me who did actually share the bread with the 5,000 or however many people? Who was it? The disciples, the believers. They took the basket, right? And they went, you know, and they experienced the miracle of God. When you go and you preach the gospel to somebody in your own words, I mean, not in your own words, with the word of God, but in your own way, okay? God can do miracles that you will be blown away, because you will see people changing, people repenting, people forgiven, people being blessed by God that only God can do. And he wants to use you and you and me to do so. He's not going to get the baskets with the fish and the bread. All right? And there's a few baskets here. You don't see them, but they're here. A lot of baskets here, right? But not with fish and bread, but with the gospel. You see? Each one of us needs to take a basket to their home this week and try to share it with somebody. One person a week. Pass them out. One of those cards or bullet tracts that we have in the back. You can invite them to your house and can invite me to go and visit. Can bring them to church so they can hear the gospel. Am I overemphasizing this? Am I like, no, right? Is this important? I mean, if the church was full, then I would say, like in the Old Testament, right? Remember when they were accepting offerings for the temple in the tabernacle? And Moses had to say, please, no more offerings. Right? Because if the church was full, then maybe I could say, take a break, you know, don't preach so much. Okay? But when we get there, when all the pews are filled up, then let's take a little break for a week or so. Right? Let's take a break. A week, you know, and not preach to anybody that week. But we're not there yet, are we? And please do not think I'm trying to use manipulation or fear or none of that. The Bible says that it is a privilege from God and a blessing from God for us to preach the gospel. Anyways, we proclaim things every single day. If not, look at Facebook or social media. Or let me look at your phone, right? The text that you send, right? Or the calls that you make. We talk about all kinds of stuff. If somebody dies, everybody knows about it. Right or wrong? Somebody died, the funeral, and everybody has to know it. Somebody is born, everybody knows about it. Look at this little baby. He waited, and they give us all this information that we didn't ask for. You know, he weighs so many pounds. Great. You know, has red hair. And they give you all these details. Weddings, anniversaries. Or when you go to Cancun, Mexico, they put it all the way, all the time. All this useless information. But when it comes to Christ, very little sharing of our Lord Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be that way. It sounds that even though we're not ashamed of the gospel, we're so afraid sometimes to preach it or to be identified with Christ, that in actuality it's like if we were actually ashamed of the gospel. It's the best thing that we actually have. Tell me, apart from Christ, something that it would be better in your life for you to talk about. Nothing. As a matter of fact, I don't know about you, but if they would take Christ out of me, if I could lose my salvation, I mean, I got nothing. I'm lost. I lost. I would be a lost billionaire, but still lost. You know what I'm saying? Like the rich ruler. He had everything. Remember? Everything. And Jesus said, okay, sell everything and follow me. And he said, why? Because he loved the world, the riches, and all of that. We are followers of Christ. Finally, we need to proclaim for the glory of God. And there's a passage in Psalm 102. Look at this. Verse 18. This will be written for generations to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. See, the Bible has been written so that we can preach the gospel and that others, okay, can hear the gospel and be saved and give glory and praise to the Lord. So, even though there's nothing we can do about getting saved ourselves or saving anybody, right? Are we clear on that? We cannot do it. But we can receive it by repentance and faith, and we can share it with others. Share the bad news. Share the good news. Share it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Share life. Share the blessing that we have. The blessing that we have. All right? Don't be selfish. Share it with others. And then share it for the glory of God. Because He is the only one that can save anybody.